Hello, this is my immigration project, and today I'm going to be interviewing my mom, who is an immigrant from Mexico. So, mom, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what's your occupation?
Yes, so I am 44 years old, and I came from Mexico, from Durango, Mexico, when I was 4 years old. I came to the United States, and right now I work part-time at a bank, and I take care of you guys the rest of my time.
Okay, that's cool. So, where were you born? So, you were born in Durango, Mexico, right?
Yes.
Okay. At what age did you cross the border?
I crossed the border when I was 4 years old. I think it was about July, probably, or probably August in 1978, I believe.
Okay, well, Durango is quite a ways from the border, so what was the journey like to get to the border, or TJ?
I was only 4 years old, so I don't remember. I don't remember Durango very much. My memories of Durango are just when we went back afterwards. But I do remember TJ because after we left Durango, we stayed in Tijuana for about probably around 3 to 4 months. So we stayed a good chunk of time, maybe 3 to 6 months we stayed in TJ after we left Durango.
Okay, and who did you cross the border with?
I crossed the border with my dad and my baby brother.
Okay, did any where were the rest of your family? 'Cause I know you have a sister and your mom.
My mom and my sister stayed behind in TJ for a little bit longer. So it was just me and my baby brother that crossed first, and then they stayed in TJ for I don't know, probably like about a month or so.
Okay. So how did they cross the border?
I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I know that your grandma and your my sister crossed the border. From what I understand, they crossed walking, probably.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of openings in the border wall from Mexico to San Diego. So, pretty much, what were the first 3 days in America life, if you can remember?
I remember it being very different because it's so big. When you come from like a city like TJ, your community's very tight. You know your neighbors, you know all your neighbors. And then driving across to the United States, I remember feeling like it's very big, and there's so many houses and businesses, and you're driving on the freeway, and it's very clean also, but very, very clean, but also very, very separate, I guess. And I think I because we went straight to Palma Valley. My dad had a little place that we moved to in Palma Valley. And I was only four, but my very first clear memory of the United States was your grandpa took me to the store to buy us like a little treat, probably because I was a little scared. And he took us to the store and he bought us a little chocolate ice cream. It was an Eskimo pie, which I don't think they have them here now. But I remember that was my first taste of American food, an Eskimo pie, and it was delicious.
That's cool. So skipping ahead, what was the first day of school like for you?
The first day of school, I had only been in the country for a couple of months because I think I came in either July or August, probably August, because I don't think I would have been too long without your grandma. So I remember grandma and grandpa taking me to register me in school. And I remember them, the school had already started. I did not go for the first day of school. It was already in session. And I remember going to the principal and doing, you know, whatever we needed to do. And then they walked me. One of the principals or the office people walked me to the classroom. And the school that I went to was a very, very small school. It was the K-8 school. There was, each class was maybe about 15, 20 kids, and it was a K-8. So I remember walking in to the classroom, and I was absolutely terrified because I obviously didn't understand any English whatsoever. And I remember the teacher, everybody was kind of working on like reading, I think, or books. And I remember the teacher was very nice. She took my hand and she went and she sat me down at a little table. And there was these big poster books. They were huge. And they were like one of those See Dick Run, Run Jane Run. It was those type of books. And I remember she put these earphones over my ears. And I could hear the recording of, you know, See Jane Run, you know, like simple things like that. And I could hear it through the earphones and see it on the book, the huge poster book in front of me. And that's pretty much what I remember. That was my first impression in school. I mean, I think it was a little bit easier for me because my teacher was an American woman. She didn't speak any Spanish, but there were other Latino kids there. So I didn't feel totally isolated because there was other kids that spoke my language. But I do remember not getting those earphones put in, having English read to me and reading that book.
Okay. So like at what age did you like realize what illegal immigrants were and that you were illegal to this country?
I don't remember. I mean, we lived in a really, really small town that we didn't have a whole lot of neighbors. So it wasn't really something that we talked about, you know.
Or thought about?
Yeah, we weren't. I mean, I wasn't really scared of it because I, you know, we were in this tiny town and almost all my friends were all probably in the same situation that we were. And it was just, I mean, obviously it would have been bad, but I don't remember being, that concerned about it because first of all, you're a kid. You just trust your parents to watch out for you. I don't remember being too scared. And obviously my dad, was here. He was legally working. He was not illegal. He was working here in the country. So
okay.
So I don't remember being scared.
Okay, so for some of the viewers out there, can you give us or tell us where Palma Valley is exactly?
Palma Valley is a town probably about, it's a very, very small town. Probably about probably the closest other town would be Valley Center to the north and like Paula Indian Reservation west. And it was, it's probably about 15 minutes from Valley Center, 15 minutes from Paula. And it's a small agricultural town. There's lots of orange groves. There's lots of lemon citrus groves, avocados. That's where Grandpa worked at a big ranch. So it's a very, very small town. Most people that live there are either people that work in the ranches, the fields.
Okay.
They work there. Or there's about three different populations in Palma Valley, at least back when I was there. There were the workers, the family of the workers that worked the ranches, that worked, you know, in the agricultural. And there was white people that there was a country club there because it's a very nice area. It's a very exclusive country club. So usually older white people. And there was also the Indian reservations where there was lots of natives, Indians, that lived there also. And that's the little town center of Palma was probably maybe about 3 or 4 stores, a video store, a little market, and probably a restaurant. And that's pretty much it. So it's very small, very rural.
Okay. So now we know that there's like a lot of casinos by there.
Now there's casinos, but back then there was no casinos. So it was even more remote. But now the casinos came in now and they provide lots of jobs for the people that work there, that live there.
Yeah, like
but back then it was a lot more remote. I mean, we came every Sunday. We used to come out to get groceries as a family, and we would come to Escondido to get out of Palma Valley and go to the store and go visit friends and family. So pretty much Sunday was our only day that we left Palma Valley.
Okay. So you, obviously you got your identification to stay in the United States by Ronald Reagan's reform. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us what that was like when you guys heard of it?
Like I said, I don't remember. I was just a kid, so I don't remember exactly, you know, exactly what the situation was. But I know it was 1985. I know that for a fact because we had to leave the country. So we spent the summertime in TJ because my parents had a house in TJ. So we had to leave the country, go to TJ, spend, I don't know, whatever amount of time outside of the country. And then when we came back, our paperwork had been processed and everything was set. Everybody had their papers. It was just me and my mom and my sister and brother. Your grandpa had always had papers. So it was actually a really fun time of my life because I was very young and I got to spend time in TJ and it was a fun time just because TJ is kind of different culturally. The streets are just full of the kids and everybody knows. And I was not used to that because I came from Palma, which was very remote, very rural. There wasn't a whole lot of neighbors. I had one, maybe two neighbors that I used to talk to and that's it. And in TJ, it was like this big community and that was a lot of fun for me. So, but I mean, I remember obviously it was 1985. It was the amnesty bill and it was Ronald Reagan. So I'm forever grateful for that, I guess.
Okay. So pretty much what was the rest of your life like until you got married?
It's different being an immigrant because I grew up here. Everything, all the American culture was my culture. You know, but it kind of wasn't. But I mean, I loved Prince. I love Madonna. I love Michael Jackson. I love the American culture. But sometimes I would feel kind of separate because, you know, being from a different country, being an immigrant to a country, you don't fully feel American and you don't fully feel Mexican. So you're kind of in your own little limbo almost, which sometimes it's difficult. Like maybe I found it a little bit more difficult when I was younger. Now I feel like it's also a gift because you get to have one foot in both these cultures and you love them both. Because I feel a very strong connection to Mexico, because I do feel like I have roots there and I have like the blood, I feel, you know, always longs for that. But I also have an incredible love for the United States. Since we lived so in such a little tiny town, I read a lot and I loved everything about, you know, like the music, the books, you know, the culture. I loved everything about the United States. And I've always wanted to, you know, I was always jealous of that experience, you know. I could do whatever I could do, but I feel like there's one foot in each culture.
Okay. So what is the ultimate, like, pretty much, what do you think of the laws on being an immigrant in the United States right now?
Right now, I don't know. I think they're really, really tough. I mean, I recognize, and it's kind of, like I said, I'm like, since I'm a grand immigrant myself, I don't know, you know, I can't take a hard line, because if a hard line was back in the early 80s, it would have affected me. So it would be a hypocrite. I would be a hypocrite if I was to say that no immigrant should be allowed, because I think immigrants bring a lot to this country. But also, I feel like you can't have an open border. You have to have some type of, you know, process. So it's really difficult. But it's really hard for me to see, like, the DACA kids that I know what it's like to be, feel like an American, fully American. And it breaks my heart that some of these kids, that's all they know this country. This is all they know. And to be sent back to Mexico because maybe your parents didn't work on your behalf to get your papers, or I think that's really sad, and it's kind of cruel because this is all they know. So.
Okay. So what do you think of the border wall proposed by Trump?
I don't think it's going to do. I think he's catering to people that feel that a wall would do something that I don't think it would do. I mean, the fact of the matter is there's always been a wall. There's a wall there now. You know, I think it obviously there's tunnels, there's ocean. The tunnels will probably be the way easier way that people can cross the border. There's always going to be illegal immigration. You know, yeah. So it's just going to push them out even more dangerous areas, like the desert, where people have to cross the desert with young people and kids, and the river, the Rio Grande. And it's just catering to people that think that it's going to do something that it's not. So I don't agree with it. I think, and also, like, I mean, obviously I feel like it's going to hurt. I know it sounds really stupid, but I feel like it's going to hurt, like, nature, like animals, you know, that cross, that migrate. So, I don't know. For some reason, I think about that, too. But I just don't think it's effective. I think he's just saying it to rile people up and to get people to think that it's a fix when it's very obviously not.
Okay, and for my final question, what do you envision the future is going to be like for immigrants and this border wall?
I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to be like. You mean if they build the wall?
Yeah, and what it's going to look like for an immigrant.
I think it will make things more difficult, but I don't think if somebody wants to come to the United States, they're searching for a better life, and they're staring at the wall from Mexico, they're going to try to find a way to do it. And it's just going to make it more dangerous for them. But I don't think a lot of people care about that over here. But I don't think it's going to stop them. I think they're just going to look for other ways, probably riskier ways to get across. And it just separates people. You know, you see this big wall, you know. It's already there, like I said. There's already a wall. We went down to GJ the other day, remember?
Yeah.
There's a wall there. It's not an open border.
Yeah.
So I think it may discourage some people, yes. But it's also going to just make people do riskier things to cross.
Okay, and that's all the time we got. And I want to thank my mom for doing the interview with us.
You're welcome, Marcos.
Okay, and we're out.